appreciate the fact that God loves you and me. God cares about our soul. And that He wants us to rejoice. And He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be glad. He wants the things that cause you and me to, what shall I say, fret, worry, complain, be unhappy. He wants those things to be moved out of our life. And He wants us to rejoice in the God of our salvation. And that God be for us, who can be against us? Just scripture after scripture that lets you and me know that God has prepared something very good for us, something very wonderful. And He reveals that to us tonight by His Spirit. You know, we have a lot of good writings in the world today, inspirational writings, and I don't fault those. I read some of those. But did you know the real happiness and the real joy comes from the presence of God through the Holy Ghost? He said He would reveal those things that He has prepared for us by His Spirit. And He teaches us over and over and over again that He wants us to receive and be a partaker of His Holy Spirit and His Holy Ghost. And He breathed on them, I believe, in one place in the New Testament, and He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So God wants us to know the fullness of His joy. This song that we just got through singing somewhat went along with some thoughts that I have. Maybe from now on we'll have some other ministers with burdens that I won't have to get up, but feel like the Lord did give us something. Have you ever thought about a river? I think about a river and we think about something that is flowing, something that is continuous, something that I know there's times you could say, well, it doesn't always happen, but a river is something that flows, something that night and day, maybe you've been out somewhere in camp beside a river. In the quiet of the night, you can, maybe if you're out west somewhere, you're where there's a few mountains, you can hear the waters cascading over the rocks. And late at night, you can maybe wake up and out of your tent or out of your camper, you can know that river is still flowing, still going forth. And I'm thinking here about what he said, joys are flowing like a river. Something is continuous, something that is coming forth. He said that we would joy, with joy, we would draw from the wells of salvation. We thank the Lord tonight now that we can have something that is not just temporary concerning joy, but our joy tonight can be full. God is a God of joy. God is a God who made things and He looked on it and He rejoiced. He said, it's good. It wasn't God who made things difficult for man. It's man who made things difficult. It was when you and I listened to Satan. It's when you and I listened to the selfish man. That's where our joy got disturbed. But the Lord created. The Lord made. The Lord had hope. The Lord had anticipated good things for mankind forevermore. Man came along and listened to the wrong influence. And I think tonight, probably there are many people in this world today that are listening to the wrong influence. Brother Dan gave us a couple of Bible studies on about the Spirit and how our spirit needs to receive the signals from the Spirit of the Lord and not the spirit of this world or the spirit of the devil. Probably too many people have tuned in too many times to the wrong spirit. But I'm glad tonight God has come to give us joy. He's come to give us something to rejoice about. His joy is not just a little joy that He puts a little of it in us and we don't know what we have to be joyful about. But praise God, we can know tonight what we have to be joyful about. And I want to look at some of those things tonight. A lot can be said about it. Over in, the last verse of this song. What a wonderful salvation. I hope tonight that every one of us counts salvation as a wonderful thing. Something great. It ought to be great because it came from a great God. It ought to be wonderful because it came from His name shall be called Wonderful. It is something that is glorious. It is beyond human imagination even. Man can't envision what salvation is. But praise God, every one of us tonight can experience it. So what a wonderful salvation, where we always see His face, that river of life, that river of God's Spirit, that river of God's truth is continually flowing. And if we will, we can receive of it. We don't have to go to the well and it be dry. We don't have to go to the river and it's changed its course. But praise the Lord, it proceedeth out from the throne of God. It comes down to mankind and flows in our heart. It's a well of water springing up to eternal life. So thank God tonight for the gift of God, the wonderful, glorious gift that comes into our hearts. And then we can be, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Too many times in life, people allow their joy to be disturbed to the point of, where is it? I've lost it. But the well of salvation, the blessings of eternal life, the gift of God is something that is not bound by or under the power of the events of this world. It is something that is in us. It is of God and it is divine. And Paul wrote to us and he said, rejoice evermore. I think of that. In every situation. In every peculiar situation. In every situation you and I may not understand. Rejoice. Don't rejoice for a week and then let something come along and you lose your vision, you lose your sight. But Paul exhorts us to rejoice continually. Rejoice today. Rejoice tomorrow. Rejoice in the years to come. Rejoice because this is a wonderful salvation. It's a salvation where we can see and know and hear the voice and the face of the Lord. He walks with us and He talks with us. And He said, I'll be in you. What a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful thing that we have to rejoice about. Mankind stumbled, and oh, how we stumbled. We stumbled beyond measure. We stumbled beyond any way this side of God to ever have a relationship with God again. Man fell so far when they sinned and were cast out of the garden. Men fell so far, and sin had dominion all through the course of history. A man killed his brother over jealousy, over envy. And from that moment on, sin has been rampant in the world today. We fell, and we don't understand as humans how bad we did fall. But it caused God, who loved us supremely, who in the beginning had a beautiful paradise, a Garden of Eden for us. And we sinned so terribly that man had to lose his first estate. God wept, I believe. Maybe He didn't just weep in terms of we understanding it. But God had a sorrow. And God's heart was broken because that which was meant not only to be joy for us, but joy for Him was broken and it was hurt. Man has fallen. And man is still fallen. But I am so glad today for this wonderful salvation that restores us and brings us home again. And it lets us be once again in the presence of the Almighty, where He can come and commune with us without the stigma of sin separating us from Him. There is therefore now no condemnation. We can walk in God's Spirit now. We can behold His face. We can hear Him and we can hear His voice speaking to us and we can have sweet communion. So Paul wrote, rejoice evermore. When we're in those trials of life, when we're in those perplexities, when things happen to us that we know shouldn't have had to happen, and we know it was unjust and it was unfair, we can have something better, stronger, and larger living in us. We can have the God of all creation. We can have His Son and His blood and His Spirit and His love living and dwelling in us, that we can rise above that which seem to just want to floor us, and we can rejoice in the Lord. We can still see the face of the Lord. Satan comes along, he wants to take our vision. Satan comes along, he wants us to look some other place. But we see Jesus. Those who have been saved, we recognize the value of Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes on Him. He's valuable to us. We spoke just a minute ago about this terrible fall. And I don't know all the conversations that went on in glory in heaven. I don't know that, of course. But evidently the angels must have realized the sadness and the disappointment in God. And the reason I say that is this. Because a few thousand years later, Jesus Christ was born. And those angels that came to herald the good news, they rejoiced. And they praised God. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Something better has come into the world. The Son of God, the Promised One, the Messiah, the way out of sin, the Deliverer, the One who has all power in heaven and earth to can heal the soul and heal the body. He has been born into the world. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government now shall be upon His shoulder. Thank the Lord tonight. Something to rejoice about. You know, one of the greatest calamities we as people get into is we take the government of our life upon our shoulder. And I don't know of one of us who rues the day that we did that when we come to our senses. When we forsake the way of the Lord, when we forsake the virtue of Jesus Christ, when we fail to recognize that and fail to utilize that, we take upon ourselves the government of our life. Praise God, He comes along and allows us to repent, allows us to awaken, allows us to come to our senses. And you know, one of the first things I did, and probably you, those of us that are saved, we recognize the terrible mistake we made in taking the government on our shoulders. We can rejoice tonight that the government is on His shoulders. He has the power to order it. You know where the kingdom is, don't you? It's in you and me. If we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and allow Him to order our lives, we can rejoice forevermore. Greater is He, see, the King that is in us. Greater is the great I Am that reigns in us than he that is in the world. You and me tonight, we have the greatest privilege that we can rejoice forevermore. Was it not Paul too that wrote, "Rejoice," and again I say rejoice? We not only can to just have a momentary happiness, but it's an eternal happiness. So the angels, when the angels came, the angel came to herald the good news, and he said, suddenly there was in the heavens with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host. And they were praising God. They were worshiping God because they realized what was coming, what was being given, the gift of life, the gift of the Word made flesh was coming down. And the one, John said it this way, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Rejoice forevermore. Rejoice forever in that now the Lamb has come that takes away our sins. That condemns us. That pollutes us. That separates us. That steals our joy. That causes you and me to be estranged from holiness and righteousness and all the benefits of the peace and the joy that go with being a son of God. Praise God, the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of not just mine, not just yours, but the sins of the whole world. We have something to rejoice about. Have you seen the Lamb tonight? Have you let the Lamb's blood wash you and cleanse you and make you whole? That's something to rejoice about. Tonight, if you're not saved, you have something to rejoice about. There is a fountain still flowing from Emmanuel's side. There is still that blood that washes and cleanses from all sin and all evil. That's something even the sinner who only knows a little bit about the Lord can rejoice over. There is a fountain. There is a fountain. And sinners washed there can be saved forevermore. Oh, thank God tonight. The angels rejoiced over the gift of God. And that gift of God was the Word made flesh. And Jesus Christ came in all His fullness and all His glory. There was no sin. and there was no guile. There was no imperfection. The Lord knew in Jesus Christ was Himself. And He's holy. And He's pure. And when God sent Jesus, He sent the very best. You know, we live in an era where you hear the words good, better, and best. There's a parable in the Gospels about a king. He sent first one emissary, and they treated him bad. He sent other emissaries, they treated them bad. Finally, he said, I know now what I need to do and what I'll do. I'll send my son, my only son. I'll send my beloved son. Perhaps, hopefully, I'll send him with the anticipation that they're going to reverence him. The Lord sent Jesus Christ, the only name given, the best that heaven had to offer. Rejoice! Rejoice! You know, we as people compare things. Sure we do. You go through a lunch line and watch them put food on plates. Have you ever compared how much the fellow in front or the fellow behind you got compared to what you got? Have you ever had a pie to divvy up and you compare who got the largest piece or who got the best? Praise God, tonight Jesus Christ came to mankind the absolute best. And He poured out His favor without measure. He didn't say, here is a drop. But I believe the Philippian writer said He emptied Himself. He didn't withhold His love. He didn't withhold His humiliation. He didn't withhold His holiness, His righteousness. He did not withhold Himself in any way, but He emptied Himself out for mankind. Now you and I have the best. We don't have second best or good or better, but praise the Lord, tonight we've got something to rejoice about. We have received of the Father absolutely the very best. And in this one, Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, the government is on His shoulders. I want to encourage you tonight. There's a river flowing. And in that river, you'll find peace for your soul, forgiveness for your sins. You'll find a new life, and you'll find joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what you'll find is something unknown to the proud, something unknown to the defiled and the guilty. You'll find a transferring of authority. And you will find a peace and a comfort in that. Did you know Jesus Christ called the Holy Ghost the Comforter? Jesus wants you and me to place on Him all our burdens, all our cares, those things that we call worries, those things that we call fears, temptations, those things that cause you and me to in some way be estranged from God. Let me qualify that. We're saved, but yet when we do not enjoy that full peace of the abiding God, we're somewhat estranged from Him. We're not under we don't feel and experience and enjoy all that God has for us. When you and I come to a place that we can turn loose of ourselves, I believe that's the most difficult thing that a man will ever have to do. I believe it's more difficult in many ways than just saying, God, I'm sorry. But to actually release ourselves and say, Lord, You are in control. You are in charge. I want to tell you, Brother Dan talked to us, and he talked to us about finding that place. And he rejoiced in what he found. The government of your life. Sometimes we get awful tired in life. People get despondent. People want to give up. I wonder if backsliding, part of the reason for backsliding is we've tried to maintain too much of the government ourselves. We tried to make too many decisions. Instead of going to the Lord with our cares, going to God with our needs, and then taking His answer. Have you ever been guilty of asking someone a question and then disagreeing with them? You know, people sometimes get a little perturbed when you say no, or maybe when you say yes. But have you ever considered the fact when you go to someone and ask them a question that can be answered yes or no, that no is a legitimate answer? We need to go expecting someone maybe to say no. When we sometimes as humans don't get what we think we ought to have, we get perturbed, we get discouraged, our lips drop, you know, down into corners, and we feel this thing called disappointment. But what if we had a relationship with Him that was so close and so trusting and so pure and so undefiled by the flesh that when life presented to us things that were difficult and the Lord saw fit to let us continue on through those things for our good, for the good, Paul said, the things that are happening to him happen for the furtherance of the gospel. God is allowing us to go through an area that's maybe admonishing us, maybe chastening us, maybe allowing us to see ourselves, or maybe allowing someone else to see the grace of God. What if, instead of chafing and being disappointed, we recognize God is in control of even this, and I can rejoice evermore? Don't we think that would make the journey a little brighter? Sure, we would hurt, and sure, we might cry, and sure, we would have our emotions and our feelings. But if we knew that in this we were doing it as unto the Lord, and He was taking note, and He was approving of what we were going through and the way we were conducting ourselves. But you know, when we please the Father, we know it, there's a rejoicing that goes with that. There's a happiness that goes with that. Sometimes, though, that taking the reins out of our hands and giving them to God, I'm convinced, is one of the hardest things that man will ever do. But you know, we can rejoice tonight because we've got someone that wants to take the government of our life. You know why? A lot of reasons. One, He knows He can do a better job. But one reason also I'm thinking of, He knows that we'll be happier. He'll know that we can be a more of an effective witness. You know, it's hard to be a witness and enthusiastic about something when you're not rejoicing about it. When you're chafing, when you're angry, when you're disappointed, when you're down in a valley that God didn't put you in, but your own emotions, your own feelings, and your own fleshly desires has got you there. And yet I'm a Christian and I've got to act like a Christian, but I don't feel like a Christian and I don't have the power in me to be a Christian, and yet I'm supposed to be an effective witness. It all just doesn't fit together, does it? The puzzle looks like somebody crammed a piece. You've seen a jigsaw puzzle. And I don't like them and I don't work them. But I confess to having tried a few times. And then when those big old puzzles about that size and you get 9 pieces in the whole puzzle, I like those guys. But when you get them down to a puzzle about this size and you got 500 pieces in it, I just push it away. But if you ever take one of those pieces and you so wanted it to fit, it looked like it ought to just go right in there. All the colors seemed to fit, seemed like the pieces. I know this little old piece with a little heart shape out here and a little hole over here, I know it's going to fit right here in it. You put it there, doesn't work. And then you, I wonder if anybody's ever done that. Sometimes, if we're not careful, try to make ourselves fit instead of flowing with the Lord. What happens? this peace goes here. I know it does. Remember, I had a little message here a while back about frustration. And to me, frustration is trying to control something that I have no control over. You ever felt that level coming up? Oh, Lord, help us to rejoice tonight that we've got someone that will take our life, all of our burdens, and cast them on Him. And He'll receive it. Praise the Lord. When the angels rejoiced, John wrote, John 3:16. And I believe this is part of what the angels were rejoicing over. For God so loved, John 3:16, God so loved this world for this reason, for the very fact that God loved mankind so intently. You know, sometimes in life, it's hard to accept love. It's hard to feel love. And I always feel sorry for people that maybe have that difficulty. And I feel sorry for the person that's trying to love them, and they can't love them because the other person won't love them. The Lord, for the purpose of His great love, He sacrificed the very best. For this reason, for His love for us, for God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, a gift. That's all it was. We're saved by grace, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Tonight I hope every one of us are rejoicing in that gift. Rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Rejoicing in the gift that He has brought down to this earth. And folks, that doesn't go away. He said that He wouldn't leave the government to others. It's in Daniel. Said He wouldn't leave the government to others. We can rejoice. We can be happy today and tomorrow and right on through our experiences with the Lord. For God so loved the world, this river is continually flowing. Continually flowing. And whatever people does, that does not diminish the power of that love. Whether people do around me or to me does not diminish the fact that God so loved the world. He loved me in spite of, and He reached down to touch our lives and our hearts. And He still wanted to do that tonight. Will we let Him do that? Will we allow Him to touch us? Will we allow Him to place within us a joy that is unspeakable, a joy that is full of glory, a joy that rises above the pitfalls of this life? For God so loved the world that He gave the best. He gave His only begotten Son, absolutely gave it, that you and me would not have to perish, not only dead in trespasses and sin, but dead throughout all eternity. Dead in the sense that we're in a lake of fire. Tonight, the Lord loves us. Rejoice over that. Whatever's happening to you, to me, God loves us. Rejoice. Car breaks down, God loves you. He's got grace. He's going to help you, and He'll see that it gets fixed. He'll take care of you. You can cast Him on Him. You can depend on Him that you don't have to get down and to the point of being angry or saying unkind words. You can count on the Lord. He's going to take care of you. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. He said, I believe it's in John, He said, I give unto them eternal life. The only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And how many times have people retired and held back from the only way? They don't want to get on the way. The way is too stringent. No, the way is not too stringent. The way is peace. The way is joy. The way is freedom. The way is happiness. The way is being led by the shepherd. The way is pure and undefiled. And He said, I give unto them eternal life. The only way, the only access is through Jesus Christ. That's why He's the best. If there was another way, He would be equal or co-whatever. But no, He's the best. And God wants you and me to have Him. And when we have Him and His fullness, and I believe His fullness is Him abiding in us through the Holy Ghost, Him living in us, and listen to this word, reigning in us. A lot of people want the Lord, but they draw back at Him reigning. But He must be there without a rival for you and me to have this river flowing in our life. I will interrupt it. I can put a dam up. But may God help us tonight that we relinquish the control to Him. We have something to rejoice about tonight. And the devil wants to take that. He wants to take it from the saints. He wants to take it from you. He wants to put it off into another age somewhere. Or he wants to make it non-existent. But tonight, Jesus said this: no man can pluck them from my hand. No man can pluck them from my Father's hand. Oh, how secure, safe is the soul that's hid in the Lord. Is that how it goes? Securely from sin, hid away. Thank the Lord tonight that there's a place in Christ that we do not have to go through life fearing, I'm going to sin. I'm going to get caught. Something's going to happen. I'm not going to be able to handle that. The devil's going to reclaim me. Praise the Lord tonight. Jesus Christ told us, when you get in His hands, no man can pluck you out. Rejoice! Be thankful! Be exceedingly glad! Realize that the Lord has hands of iron and steel and grace and glory and power and might. And if I will abide there, if I will keep myself there, if I will not let my eyes and my ears and my senses, if I will keep myself in the fold, in the home of the Lord, and walk in obedience, if I will take advantage of the Holy Ghost, no man can pluck me from the Father's hand. Rejoice over that. In this life, a fire can take your home. A tornado can take your home. People who have to go to doctors and without the proper insurance or assistance, they can lose their home. They can lose. In this life, we constantly are aware that my treasures, I can lose them. You ever thought of that? Your companion? You know one day one of you is no longer going to be here. I'm going to lose that or other way around. We are continually aware that everything I have is subject to being lost. It's just the way of life, the way of things wearing out, the way things happen. But in Christ Jesus, we can have a security that I can never be lost. We don't have to fear backsliding. We don't have to fear going to hell. We can know our name is in the book of life. And Jesus Himself said, all these things coming around cannot pluck you out. They cannot go into my hand and pull you out. Thank the Lord for that. We have that today to rejoice over. So tonight, let's rejoice. Let's be happy. Let's be thankful. And I don't mean a giddy happy, but a happiness that is born of security. Did you know someone can be rather poor in this world financially and still be secure? They have value and integrity and things greater than what this world can accommodate them with. The Lord wants our happiness not based on quote-unquote good times. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. He wants us to be based on that. A relationship, I know my Lord, and He knows me. And my name is in the palm of His hand. and no man can pluck me out. And I will face adversity, and I will face things, but I can be more than a conqueror. Rejoice over that. Don't let life throw you a curve, and you follow that curve, swing at it, and miss. Used to play just a very little baseball. And the first time a man threw a curveball at me, I felt like I jumped back. Well, I don't want to exaggerate. But that curveball was coming right at me. I got out of the way of that ball. And the umpire said, strike one. Because it went right across the plate. Had I stood there, he had missed me. You know, the devil is good at throwing curves at us. And illusions and things and getting it to build up in our minds. Praise God that you and I can know in whom we have believed. And we can be persuaded of Him. We can be happy in Him. We can be joyful in Him. We don't have to let anyone take our crown. We don't have to give it up. We can go to heaven leaping and shouting and praising God. We can face the gravest of what the adversary would throw at us. And we can be happy in our salvation. And I'll say this. A happy witness is an effective witness. And I don't mean a false happiness. I don't mean someone that's hee-hawing and laughing. I don't mean that. But someone that has a joy within them. People will see that person going through a hard time. But they remark, and it's remarkable, that that person is above that that's troubling them. Yes, they're troubled. But you know the Lord told us He'd give us power to tread upon scorpions. You know, there's going to be scorpions in your life. And they're going to sting you. But did you know we can still be above them? And they don't have to bring us down to their level. And we go weak. And yes, Lord, as soon as you can, I'm ready to get out. But I don't have to be under the power of it. I can still be sweet in my soul. I can still love my brother. I can still do those things that God approves of. The Lord wants us to be happy. Too many times we forget the promise. So may the Lord help us. Rejoice. Rejoice evermore. And God, through Christ, spoke to us and told us things. And He said it this way, that your joy might remain. What does that mean to you? That means that my joy is going to be attacked. That means that circumstances are going to be somewhat less than perfect in the flesh. But in spite of that, in spite of the adversary, in spite of that which comes against me, Jesus spoke to us and taught us and gave us gifts that our joy under the most adverse of situations might still remain. I want to encourage us in another way. Don't wait till you get to the trial and start working on your joy. Brother Austin taught us, and I'm sure some of you heard this, that you gather in the summer of your life before the winter gets here. Don't wait till the adversary has got you treed somewhere up a tree and baying at you, gnashing his teeth at you. Don't wait for him to get you treed somewhere and then say, now where's my joy? Lord, help us when you're comfortable. Learn your joy. And not the joy of, I got all my bills paid, my children are all nestled in bed tonight safe, and I feel like $1 million. No. A joy in knowing I'm saved. That my life has been committed to Jesus Christ. The government of my life is not on me. but the government is on Jesus Christ. And I've given Him my life. I've given Him my hopes. I've given Him my future. I have joy today. And then the little trials come. Work on your joy. Keep your joy. Don't lose your joy. Don't get distracted. Because one day the bitter trial will come. The trial that Job had will come. Thing that you feared the most, it'll happen maybe. Don't wait till you get there to find this joy. You know, can't think of the king's name just right offhand. Jehoshaphat. He sent the singers out ahead. Go ahead, folks. Rejoice in the Lord. Send them on out of here. Let the world know through the joy you exhibit in your soul. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And Jesus tonight wants our joy to remain in us. So much can be said about this. It's our strength. If you get in a job you don't like, you're not going to stay there probably very long. Or at least you're not going to stay there very long until you start looking through the want ads. And you may have to endure it, but at the first chance, you're going to get out of it. We need to enjoy salvation. It's a strengthening thing. Did you know if it's something you enjoy, you don't want to leave it? You don't want to get away from it. You want to be in its presence. Someone, something, it brings you joy, you want more of it. And not only that, you want to tell someone about it. And it's an encouragement, and it's contagious. It's a strength in joy. Joy will keep you. Joy will hold you. Listen to what it said of Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before Him. What was it? It was you and me. It was the establishment of the church. It was the defeat of the devil. It was given to you and me this joy unspeakable, making it where we could be cleansed and washed from our sins. The joy, and I know we could say other things here, but for the joy that was set before Him, Christ stayed on the cross. Joy has strength and it has power. If you're really enjoying something, I didn't want to go. One time, this is many years ago, we were sitting at the table. I was a younger teenager. My mother had cooked a meal. And we were sitting there, and I had eaten, beyond what I needed. And I kind of sat back and I told my mother, stepmother, actually, I told her, I said, wasn't one thing wrong with this meal. And it kind of deflated her for a second. And she said, well, what's that? She ought to have known by the way I ate it, wasn't anything wrong with it. I said, well, the only thing wrong with this meal is I can't eat anymore. Joy has a power that we don't want to leave it. And we want to come back. And we want to come back. So for the joy that was set before Him, the Lord went all the way. Did you know if we have this joy in our life, you and I can go all the way? Paul said, the Corinthians or one of them there, Thessalonians, you joyfully took the spoiling of your goods. You was glad to offer up yourself. You found it an encouragement to give beyond your means. And that money, those offerings you gave, you did it joyfully, even though it meant a sacrifice on your part. A sacrificing church is a joyful church. On and on. God wants you and me, saints, to rejoice in the God of our salvation and be happy. Let the world know. You pray for me.